Audio presents Against the Wall by Rebecca Zanetti. Narrated by Heather Smith. Chapter 1. The silence bordered on bizarre. Shouldn't there be crickets chirping, birds squawking, even the howl of a hungry wolf in the muted forest? Of course, such sounds would send a city girl like Sophie Smith barreling back through the trees to her rented Jeep Cherokee. The quiet peace had relaxed her into wandering far into the forested depths, but now the trees huddled closer together, looming and warning. Enough of this crap. Time to head back to the car. Her only warning was the crack of a stick under a powerful hoof, a thumping, and a shouted, "Look out!" A broad arm lifted her through the air. The arm banded solidly around her waist, and her rear slammed onto the back of a rushing horse. She yelped, straddling the animal and digging her hands into its mane. The image of the man attached to the arm flashed through her brain, while his rock-hard body warmed her from behind. A cowboy. Not a wannabe cowboy from a bar in the city. A real cowboy. The image of thick black hair, hard-cut jaw, and Stetson hat burst through her shocked mind as muscled thighs gripped both the back of a massive stallion and her hips. The beast ran full bore over rough ground. Only the sinewed forearm around her waist kept her from flying through the air. This wasn't happening. Sophie shut her mouth on a scream as the powerful animal gracefully leaped over a fallen log and her captor pulled her into his solid body. He moved as one with the animal. Her hands fisted the silky mane like it was a lifeline to reality. Maybe it was. Screw this. She threw back an elbow and twisted to the side, fear and anger finally galvanizing her into action. Stop. A deep voice issued the command as warm breath brushed her cheekbone. With a mere tightening of his thighs on the great animal, they skidded to a stop. The arm trapping her shifted so she slid easily to the ground and stayed around her waist until she regained her footing. With a sound that was more growl than gasp, she backed away from man and mount until she collapsed against the bark of a towering tree. The horse tossed his head and snorted at her retreat. The man sat straight and tall on the animal, dark and curious eyes considering her. The smell of wet moss surrounded her. She gulped in air and studied him. He was huge and packed hard. Scuffed cowboy boots pressed down on the stirrups, while a dark T-shirt outlined impressive muscles. Long lashes framed incredible eyes, and she could swear a dark eyebrow lifted in amusement. Two more horses charged suddenly through the meadow, sliding to a swift stop behind her captor. One animal was a pretty white, the other a spotted paint, and both held powerful cowboys complete with boots, jeans, and Stetsons. All wore black hats, like the villains in every Western movie ever filmed. "Unbelievable," she muttered under her breath. At her voice, her captor jumped gracefully off his mount and stepped toward her.
"What should we do with her?"
the man on the white horse asked. His gravelly voice contrasted oddly with the glint of humor in his tawny eyes. Filtered sunlight illuminated the gold, brown, and even black hair flowing unchecked around his shoulders. He was a symphony of twilight, where the other men wore the ominous tone of midnight.
"I caught her. I get to keep her," her captor said, his eyes intent as he took another step toward her, firm muscles bunching in his upper arms.
"Another step, and you get to land on your ass." Sophie readied herself to target his knees as fear uncoiled in her stomach. He stood at least a foot taller than her own 5'4". His grin was quick and unexpected. It also added to the nerve still jumping in her belly. He might be a psychotic throwback to the pioneer days, but he belonged on a Calvin Klein underwear billboard. The forest pressed in, and a smattering of pine cones hit the earth. Their soft, fragrant thunks shot adrenaline through her veins. Something high in the tree twittered a soft screech, reminding her she was far from home. From safety. She centered her breath and decided on a groin shot. Just then, a happy feminine shout yanked her attention toward a petite young woman rushing toward the horses. The female whirlwind all but collided with Sophie's tormentor.
"Jake, you're the best! I got the best picture ever. The action shots are amazing!"
The woman released Jake and jumped at Sophie to grab both hands.
"Oh, my God! Didn't you hear them coming? They nearly mowed you down. But Jake has great reflexes. He saved you. The picture is phenomenal. Your eyes were huge, and you looked so scared. I am going to nail this project."
Sophie wrinkled her brow at the stunning woman. She had long black hair, straight features, and aquamarine eyes, which were alight with happiness as she pumped Sophie's hands in her own.
"You're welcome?"
Sophie pressed her backside against the tree trunk. The woman threw back her head and laughed.
"I'm Dawn, and you already met my brother Jake."
She gestured behind her to the motionless cowboy. "Those are my brothers Quinn and Colton."
"Ma'am," both men said, tugging on hat brims while remaining perched comfortably on their stallions.
Colton had the colorful array of hair, while Quinn's hair and eyes were as dark as Jake's.
Dawn stomped wet grass off her boots.
"We're from the Kuski tribe. I was trying to capture a historical action shot, but you stepped right into their path. This was perfect."
She patted Sophie's hand.
"Don't worry. You weren't in any danger. Jake's an excellent rider."
"Wait a freaking minute."
Sophie glared at Jake.
"What an asshole."
"Why didn't you put me down sooner?"
"Sorry if we scared you," he said softly.
His eyes anything but apologetic, as his generous lips tipped in humor.
"Dawn needed a picture for her senior project, and I didn't want to stop until I was sure she'd gotten what she needed. It was a long setup, or so she told us."
Temper stirred at the base of Sophie's neck.
"I caught her. I get to keep her?"
Colton chortled.
"You should have seen your face." "Yeah, you looked ready to faint," Quinn said,
as his horse tossed its head and sidestepped in a graceful prance.
"Actually," Jake said, his eyes narrowing, "she had shifted her stance to kick me in the knees."
He cocked his head, almost seeming wishful she had tried it. She wondered if she could have taken him down and ignored the annoying voice in the back of her head, laughing hysterically.
"Really?"
Colton grinned.
"I would have liked to see that."
"Me too."
Sophie returned his grin, and her temper dissipated. She bet she had looked terrified.
She had been.
"I'm a senior at the University of Montana, and for my photography project, I need to capture a series of action shots. There's nothing like horses rushing through shadowed trees to show action."
Dawn smiled even white teeth.
"You're probably lucky Jake was able to pick you up before running you over."
Sophie cleared her throat, her gaze lifting again to Jake. Warmth spread through her abdomen.
the man standing so solidly next to wild beasts and surrounded by untamed land, was something new and definitely out of her experience. He was all male, and something feminine in her deep down stretched awake. Her heart kicked back into gear. Fighting her suddenly alive libido, she smoothed her face into curious lines. "Why didn't you just shout for me to get out of the way?" He cocked his head to the side, those dark eyes softening.
"I did, but you didn't move fast enough. One second the trail was clear, the next you were about to get trampled. I turned my horse and grabbed you before one of my brothers could run you over."
So he had actually saved her. Sure, he'd had some fun at her expense, but at least if she needed to kick him later for it, she still had legs. She lifted her chin. "Thanks for the rescue." His cheek creased with a dimple before he turned and remounted his horse.
"Any time, sunshine."
"What were you doing in our forest anyway?" Dawn asked. Sophie's heart dropped to her stomach. This was where the niceties stopped. "I'm Sophie Smith from Green Par Designs." "Oh, the golf course lady." Dawn nodded. That was an easy, accepting tone. Sophie frowned. "Yes, I'm here to design the golf course next to the lake, so I was checking out the land." Now the pretty woman would get angry, considering the Kuski tribe opposed the project. The pine-filled canopy blocked the sun's warmth, and Sophie shivered. "Oh, well, that explains it then." Dawn tossed ebony hair out of her face. Sophie gaped and quickly closed her mouth. "Aren't you opposed to the golf course?" "Of course. For one thing, it's bad placement because the fertilizers will pollute the lake." Dawn softened her rebuke with a smile. "And the other thing?" Sophie asked. Dawn shrugged. "The land doesn't want the golf course there."
"The land?"
"Yep." Dawn tugged her toward the clearing. "Come on, I'll show you my shot before Jake takes you back to your car. Thanks again for the picture. It was perfect."
"You're welcome."
Sophie shook her head and let the woman lead her from the forest while three muscled cowboys followed tamely behind them. Jake drew in air, his gut tightening as if Guardian had kicked him. Sophie's vanilla scent still wrapped around him. His hands itched with the desire to haul her back on the horse, but he contented himself with studying her head to toe. Sunlight turned her mass of shoulder-length curls to shiny wheat, the color both sweet and sassy. God, she was beautiful. Maybe not in the conventional movie star way, more like a fierce, "I'm going to knock you on your ass" way. He'd fought in combat, and he'd seen courage. The woman had shown bravery and brains when she'd faced him and settled her stance to fight. An irresistible combination. At only an inch taller than Donnie, Sophie was small. Faded jean capris cradled her sweetheart-shaped ass, an ass he'd love to dig his hands into. Her waist was tiny enough, his arm had easily wrapped around it, and he couldn't forget the feeling of the full breasts resting just out of reach. But those eyes! They were the color of the deep blue irises his mama carefully tended each spring. And Sophie was a scrapper. She had been more than willing to try and knock him on his butt. Quinn caught his eye, amusement lifting his lips. Jake half shrugged. Yeah, he was checking out the city lady. The fierce look in Sophie's pretty eyes had contrasted nicely with her pale skin and classic features when she had prepared to take him down. As a lawyer, he enjoyed a good contrast. His gut heated as he steered Guardian through the meadow. He'd love to wrestle with her. She made the appropriate noises while looking through the viewfinder of Dawn's digital camera before his sister removed it and folded the tripod. "I guess Jake will take you back to your car," Dawn said absently, handing the equipment up to Colton. Then she reached an arm to Quinn, who tugged her to sit behind him on his pawing horse. Jake fought a grin at the panic that rushed across Sophie's face.
No, I'll just walk.
She peered uncertainly around the clearing into the nearby trees, her pretty pink lips pursing.
"We came a lot farther than you think."
Jake tried to sound reassuring.
"I promise I'll go slow."
Sophie shook her head, sending blonde curls flying.
"Not a chance, sport. I'm walking."
She turned and headed toward a trail barely visible between two bulky bull pines. Quinn shrugged.
"You're on your own. I have to get to work."
His brother clicked his mount into a gallop, and he and Dawn took off, leaving him with Colton. Sophie escaped between two trees.
"Do you think you can handle the pint-sized city girl, or do you need help?"
Colton grinned as his horse danced impatiently to the side.
"The day I need help from you, shoot me, little brother."
Jake tightened his knees on Guardian, who was ready to run again.
"With pleasure."
Colton nodded toward the tree line.
"You'd better get going. She just turned the wrong way."
Jake grinned before pressing in with one thigh, turning the mount. Guardian plodded impatiently into the forest. Sophie came into view, picking her way carefully along scattered pine cones and exposed tree roots. Her spine straightened, and her shoulders firmed as he narrowed the gap between them, but she didn't acknowledge him otherwise. Why did he like that about her? The woman was lost as a person could be, yet she marched forward into darkness. The trees soon thickened along with prickly bushes and slash piles.
"You're going the wrong way, sunshine."
She came to an abrupt stop at his soft words. Jake reined in Guardian, waiting for Sophie to turn around and face him. It took longer than he would have thought. Stubborn was an understatement with this woman. As she slowly turned, he could have kicked himself at the intelligent wariness in her gaze. She was alone in the middle of the forest with a strange man. He had a daughter, a little sister. He should have known better. They stared at each other, forest sounds surrounding them. Jake searched for the right words.
"I won't hurt you. I just want to get you to your car."
Sophie lifted her chin, but otherwise didn't move.
"I'll let you drive," Jake cajoled.
The smile that lit her pretty face warmed him.
"There's no way I can drive that beast."
She took a small step toward him.
"Sure you can."
Jake reached down to offer an arm. He didn't question why it mattered that she trust him. It just did. Vulnerability glimmered in her eyes. "Maybe we should walk instead." He forced himself to relax, to appear as unthreatening as a guy twice her size could look. Thunder rolled in the distance. Damn it, storm season had definitely arrived early. He slid his most earnest, "trust me," closing argument grin into place. If the storm brought lightning, they'd need to dive for a ditch. The last thing he wanted to do was scare her.
"Believe me, this is faster, and there's a heck of a storm coming."
Sophie eyed the darkening sky. With a deep breath, she stepped up to the quiet horse.
"Okay, but we go slow. I mean,
unless lightning starts to strike, then we go fast. How do I get back on? The woman's bravery tempted him to haul her close, so he gave them both a moment as he shifted his weight. The thunder bellowed louder. They only had minutes until the rain hit. He balanced himself with his thighs, reached down, and lifted her by the waist to perch in front of him. She fit nicely into his hold, and something clicked into place. "Relax," he whispered in her ear, placing her hands securely on the silky black mane. "If you're relaxed, the horse will relax." "Right." Sophie coughed, and her muscles eased into something slightly less than rigor mortis.
"Okay, now grip the horse with your thighs and tug him the way you want to go."
Jake forced his libido into submission. The act was difficult, considering how tight his jeans had just become. Sophie tugged, and Guardian shifted around to retrace his steps. "He's going," she whispered, her voice lowering in delight.
"Yep." Damn, her voice was sexy as hell.
The soft tenor shivered across his nerves. He hardened.
Basketball scores, baseball stats, national holidays. His mind reeled facts around in a futile effort to control his reaction.
Sharp pangs of light shot through the awning of pine needles and clouds rolling in. The horse meandered through the trees and past rambling huckleberry bushes. Jake let Sophie set the pace, and her muscles soon relaxed against him. Finally, they emerged out of the forest to the narrow dirt road where her jeep waited. Jake helped her to the ground. She self-consciously stepped away and tossed curls out of her face. "Thanks for the lift," she said, backing up even more.
"Any time, sunshine," he said.
"It was, nice to have met you." She pivoted and all but bolted for her jeep. The woman wanted to be rid of him. He fought another grin. Too bad she wasn't going to get what she wanted this time.
Boy, was she in for a surprise.
He waited until she jumped into the vehicle and watched until it was out of sight. His heart lighter than usual as Guardian waited for the command to run. Chapter 2. Several hours after her unexpected horseback ride, Sophie pored over her papers scattered across the bedspread as hazy light glinted off the brass bed rail in her room. She loved the bed and breakfast with the burnished antique furnishings and lemon oil smell. The milk glass lamp added to the moonlight from the open window as she lay back in her warm t-shirt and boxers. The needles from the massive bullpine outside her window scraped against the glass.
"Get out of town before you get hurt."
The peaceful surroundings washed away her unease as she perused the hastily scrawled note stuck on her windshield. She rolled her eyes. If they thought that would scare her, they were crazy. She shifted her attention to the legal documents her staff had faxed to her, and her head started to pound as she prepared for the early meeting with the Kuski tribe. Her cell phone chattered a nameless tune, and she stretched to reach it.
"Hi, Sophia. How's life in the middle of nowhere?"
The deep voice elicited a familiar fluttering in her lower stomach.
"Hi, Preston.
I'm in Montana. I think that's somewhere." She settled more comfortably against the flowered pillows.
"Why are you calling so late?"
"Don't tell me. Your date had an early math test tomorrow." She grinned at her own joke as she imagined his blue eyes sparkling with humor.
"Funny. The blonde you met before leaving town works at Shinny's and isn't a college freshman. Do they even have running water where you are?
Running water, paved roads, and even electricity. Sophie lost her grin at the image of the too perfect waitress. When are you going to stop dating bubble-headed Barbies?
When the right girl comes along, I guess.
The words hurt more than they should have. She reminded herself they were just friends. One freakin' kiss didn't make a relationship. She cringed as she thought of how distant he'd been afterward. At least until she reassured him they were just friends and the kiss had been a mistake.
In fact,
Preston's cultured voice reached across the miles.
I've been thinking quite a bit about that kiss at the Christmas party.
Sophie focused all her attention on the little phone in her ear and struggled to keep her voice calm. What kiss? Preston chuckled.
You know exactly what kiss.
Of course she did. She'd only relived the whole evening in her mind for months afterward. I know, but Preston...
I can change, Sophia.
I doubt that. She snorted, even though her heart warmed. She'd had a crush on her debonair co-worker for so long, she again wondered, what if?
Well, I've done something.
Preston's voice lowered.
What?
What in the world could he have done?
I booked us on a Caribbean cruise next fall to celebrate your successful design.
That's a bit premature, isn't it? We don't even have the permit yet.
You'll get it.
She wasn't so sure. Wait a minute. What do you mean by us?
I mean us. You and me. I'm tired of dancing around this. Your uncle is going to retire soon, and he wants the business taken care of. You and I have a great relationship, and it could be even better.
Something clinked against the phone as he swallowed. Probably his usual scotch in a crystal tumbler. Her heart sank. She may have had a crush on the man, but her brain still worked.
Wow.
Sounds like a successful merger.
It would be. Add in the fact that we want each other. Coupled with similar tastes and interests, I think we have it made.
What about love?
Seriously? What are you, 12?
Sophie laughed. Yeah, seriously. Shouldn't love, fire, passion, and all that be the goal?
Whose goal? Plus, we have the fire and passion, so love's probably just around the corner.
Sophie was quiet for a moment. Preston was exactly who she'd always wanted. Young, ambitious, already successful. He had even designed his own home overlooking the bay in San Francisco, and he resembled a tall, blonde Nordic god. Plus, she genuinely liked him. She sighed.
I don't know. Come on, Sophia. Be realistic and stop daydreaming. Puppy love is for naive morons.
Self-ridicule and an odd loneliness wrapped around his tone. Her head jerked up. Who hurt you so badly, Press? Her question surprised her even as she asked it. Quiet reigned over the line.
I don't know what you mean.
But he did. She could tell. Sorry, it just slipped out. So much for a routine phone call. For the first time, doubt filled her about the successful architect.
It's all right.
His voice hinted at sensual promise.
Also, I want to thank you for taking this project on so I could concentrate on the Seattle proposal.
She relaxed as they returned to business. No problem. I've been waiting for Uncle Nathan to let me take the lead on a golf course design, and this is finally it. Of course, they'd only use her design if the county approved the construction plan. Hope inflated her chest.
Yeah, I know. It's a big job. The Charlton Group stands to lose a boatload of money if this project doesn't come to fruition.
The sound of paper shuffling came over the line.
More importantly, we have 5 more projects lined up with them. Our bottom line for the next 3 years depends on the group.
No pressure there.
Sorry, but you need to understand. We're in trouble.
The breath caught in her throat. How much trouble? Silence echoed from a world away. Finally, Preston cleared his throat.
Your uncle met with financial restructuring specialists yesterday.
Holy crap! Sophie sat straight up. We're going bankrupt?
That's one option.
Preston sighed.
The economy has hurt us pretty badly. I think we can crawl our way out of this mess with your current project and mine in Seattle. They both need to work.
Her mind spun. Damn it. Uncle Nathan couldn't lose the company. Don't worry. I'll get the job here.
Your uncle mentioned the local tribe is opposing the course.
She picked at a thread on the bedspread, her shoulders hunching. Yeah, that's why I decided to stay at the B&B on the reservation instead of in Maverick. I meet with the tribe tomorrow. They own the lake just below the proposal site, and they're worried about pollution from fertilizer and people. Preston sighed.
Our science is just as good as theirs, and the lake will be fine. But you still have to get the conditional use permit from the county, and the tribe may have the influence to sway them.
Her skin prickled. Yeah, I know. That hearing isn't until a week from next Monday, so I thought I'd see what headway I could make with the tribal elders tomorrow. She leaned against the pillows and forced her muscles to relax. She loved to design land, but the legal issues involved in land use planning caused a drumming in her temples, an ache between her eyes, a rolling in her stomach that forced her to take deep, measured breaths. I don't understand why we need a permit from the county, since this is privately owned land.
Well, the land is zoned rural, meaning you can put a house on every 5 acres. One of the possible uses is a golf course, but you have to get a conditional use permit to build it as well as the houses surrounding it.
Preston took another deep swallow.
You need a public hearing in front of the county commissioners before they can make their decision. Sometimes those hearings get a bit, well, energetic.
Great. Sophie sighed. I meet with the Maverick Chamber of Commerce early next week, as well as with the citizens group concerned with development. Maybe having their support will help at the hearing.
Sounds like a good plan. I'll let you get some rest before your big day tomorrow.
What sounded like ice clinking in a glass shattered across the line.
But give some thought to my idea about our, personal merger. I think we'd be a good match.
Sophie started to reply when a loud beep came across the line.
Oops, that's my second line. I'll talk to you later, Sophia.
The line went dead. Sophie powered down her phone and switched off the light, then stared at the muted ceiling. Moonlight glinted off the brass rail from the open window and lent a coziness to the room. She wondered who would be calling Preston so late in the night, and she wondered if she wanted to be merely a good match. She doubted it. She wanted passion and desire and comfort. All feelings, no planning. Her mother would be disgusted. Sophie's thoughts flew again to the mad dash through the forest in the hard arms of a modern warrior. She had felt safe and protected in those arms, even before she knew who he was or why he'd grabbed her. Even before she knew that she was, in fact, safe. His eyes had shown interest and promise. A fluttering winged around her abdomen that had nothing to do with her fear of horses and everything to do with the man who controlled wild beasts. Would she see Jake again? Surprise filled her at how badly she wanted that to happen. Jake put the truck in park, slipped the manila files into his briefcase, and tried to focus on tomorrow's hearing. It was a big one, and if he won the motion for his client, the other side would settle. As a lawyer, he liked a good trial, but it was always better for a client to settle before all the stress started. Unlike him, he thrived on stress and challenge. As a working single dad to a 6-year-old, it was a good thing he liked a challenge. But as he stepped onto the gravel drive, his mind kept flashing to the pretty blonde who'd so bravely tried to steer his horse the previous day. Guts and beauty in such a small package was a temptation he'd never resist. He glanced down at his watch. Damn it, he was late. Why had he agreed to meet at the tribe's main lodge instead of in his office? He grimaced. He hadn't wanted Sophie to be uncomfortable, and the lodge was a thing of beauty. Next, he was going to agree to her terms, which he couldn't do. So he marched into the lodge and headed toward the main conference room, sliding inside the door. The woman sat at the far end of the table, looking spring fresh in a flimsy blouse and pencil skirt. God, he loved a woman in a pencil skirt. She looked like every hot librarian he'd ever dreamed about. "Miss Smith," he said smoothly. Her eyes opened wide, her gaze sweeping from his boots to his face. "What the hell?" Amusement filled him, and he fought the insane urge to tug her from the chair for a kiss. "Not who you were expecting?" Her eyes narrowed. "No, I was expecting a lawyer."
"I'm the tribe's lawyer."
He couldn't help reaching for her hand to shake. His palm enclosed hers, and he made sure not to squeeze the delicate bones. "You're kidding me." She tugged her hand free, a pink flush wandering across her high cheekbones.
"Afraid not."
He slid into the nearest chair, inhaling her fresh scent of strawberries.
"I've read over your proposal, and while I think the golf course is magnificent, it doesn't belong on the site you've chosen."
Much better to get the business out of the way before he asked her out. Sophie smiled then, and he felt his first sense of unease. Maybe this wouldn't be as easy as he thought. Sophie wondered if she'd be arrested if she cold-cocked Jake Lodge across his arrogant face. "Mr. Lodge." "Jake," he reminded her again. Sophie growled low in her throat. "Jake, you are not being reasonable."
"Yes, I am."
Strong arms crossed over a hard chest as he sat back in the dark leather chair. "Are not?" Sophie spouted before she could stop herself. A raised eyebrow and glint of amusement met her frustration head on. She took a deep breath. "You do not own the land."
"I know that."
The amusement turned to a full-out grin.
I hate clichés.
Excuse me?
Clichés. They're boring.
He placed two broad hands on the oak table between them and leaned forward into her space.
But you are absolutely stunning when angry.
Her heart gave a nasty thud. Sophie shook her head. Even indoors, the man was as primitive and dangerous-looking as he'd been controlling a powerful stallion. His presence overwhelmed the small conference room with its tan leather chairs and burnished wooden table. Light filtered softly through several open windows, and the breeze carried the scent of wildflowers through the small room. The scent of man tempted her much more than the flowers. A long-sleeved black T-shirt emphasized strength and muscle, while faded jeans hung low on tight hips over his long legs. Black cowboy boots crossed negligently at the ankle, and he'd tied his dark hair back at the nape, throwing the sharp angles of his face into stark relief. Black eyes reflected humor and determination in equal parts as he held firm. The panoramic window behind him framed rugged mountains and a placid lake in gentle stillness. The wildness outside only enhanced his. His watchful intelligence made the floor beneath her pumps shift like quicksand. She smoothed curls back from her face and blinked to keep from glaring. I thought I was meeting with a tribal elder today.
You will. But the chief wanted me to explain our legal position to you first.
You don't look like a lawyer. She said what she'd been thinking for the last hour.
Good.
Jake grinned an even row of white teeth.
I'd rather you didn't see me as a lawyer.
What do you want me to see you as? Good God! She was flirting with the man. The grin narrowed, and his dark gaze roamed across her rapidly warming face.
Hopefully someone you'd like to get to know better while you're in town, city girl.
His eyes hardened to deep coal. What? She would have taken a step back had she been standing. As it was, her body tensed as she focused on the large man seated across the table from her. The oak door behind Jake swung open, which prevented him from responding. An elderly man with long, shockingly white hair strolled into the room and crossed over to Sophie. She rose to her feet. His hands clasped hers warmly, and two dark brown eyes twinkled at her.
Miss Smith, I'm Chief Lodge of the Kuski tribe.
It's nice to meet you, Chief Lodge. Sophie smiled up at a face similar to Jake's. Strong features set into a bronze face with lines created by laughter, though the sculpted jaw hinted at a stubbornness she'd already encountered in Jake, who had to be related. Charisma and charm surrounded the elder. If the chief were anything to go by, her new nemesis would age well. Please, call me Sophie.
Ah, Sophie. Such a pretty name.
The chief gestured for her to retake her seat as he turned and sat at the head of the table. He wore faded jeans over scuffed brown cowboy boots with a deep red button-down shirt.
I see you've met my grandson and lawyer, Jake.
Yes. The warmth deserted her as she eyed Jake. His grin in return made her want to throw something at his head.
So?
The chief's upper lip quirked.
What can I do for you, Sophie?
Sophie focused on the elder's calm facade. Those deep lines sat comfortably on a smooth face. He could be anywhere between 50 and 1,000 years old. I'm here to explain the golf course proposal and earn the support from the Kuski tribe. She hoped to have better luck with the elder than his grandson. Wisdom flowed through the chief's eyes along with amusement.
Is that why you're here?
Well, yes. Sophie tossed a quick look to Jake. Did the chief know anything about her proposal or not?
Oh, I've studied your design, the chief reassured her. Sometimes what we think we know isn't what we really know.
I don't understand. The chief shrugged.
You don't need to.
He reclined in his chair.
I have to tell you that your design is magnificent.
Sophie's eyes widened. Really?
Yes. Wonderful. Looks like a great course to play. I love to golf, you know.
Sophie slanted a glance toward Jake, but his implacable face revealed nothing. She turned back to the chief. The development will bring money to the tribe and casino.
Yes, I believe that it would.
He clasped broad hands together on the hard table, hands that reminded her of Jake's. The breeze tossed the sweet scent of berries through the room as the chief breathed deep in appreciation.
Huckleberries should be quite the crop this year.
He focused on Sophie's face.
They grow wild all over your client's property.
Sophie maintained her smile. I understand huckleberries grow wild across all the nearby mountains, even by the roadside. The chief flashed an amused grin.
That they do. You're a spunky one, Sophie Smith.
Thank you. Sophie ignored Jake's sudden grin.
And the course really does look like a fun one. I especially like the water hazards.
The chief nodded. So you'll support the project? Her heart leaped into full gallop.
Oh, no,
the chief said sadly, still with a twinkle in his deep eyes.
I can't do that.
Even though she'd expected his rejection, a ball of dread slammed into her gut. Could I ask why?
The land doesn't want a golf course there.
Not this again. The land? Sophie tried not to sigh in exasperation.
Yes.
The chief grinned.
Have you asked the land?
Sophie's spine straightened at Jake's quiet snort. No, not really.
Well then, it's all settled.
The chief rose.
What's settled?
Sophie lurched to stand.
Jake will take you tomorrow to talk to the land. You two can ride over the northern ridge and maybe have a picnic overlooking the lake. Grandpa,
Jake started to protest as he took to his feet. His chair echoed his annoyance as it slid back with a creak.
That's an order from both the chief and your grandpa, boy,
the chief said with a hard glint in his eye. Jake turned to Sophie, his broad form blocking the sunlight. Humor creased his cheek, adding charm to the lethal angles of his face.
I'll pick you up at 10 tomorrow morning.
Wow! Sophie smiled at the chief. Can you order him to stop being obnoxious and arrogant, too? Jake shot her a warning glance. The chief roared out a deep laugh.
Sorry, Sophie. Those traits are from his grandma's side.
The elder chuckled as he ambled out the door.
I am not going horseback riding with you.
Sophie rounded on Jake and threw her hands in the air before leaving his office to head outside. Sure, she needed to see the area to get a better idea for her design, just to make sure she'd covered all her bases, but she'd drive there.
It appears you are, darling. Where we're going is only accessible via horseback. No vehicles.
He moved silently, his scent of man and musk swimming over her as he reached the door and opened it.
Damn it! Now she needed to ride another horse.
Jake turned her around, and a broad hand at her lower back propelled her into sunshine. Natural pine scent filled the air, and gravel crunched underneath their feet. He walked her to the Jeep and opened the driver's door, his hands sliding around her waist. The gentle touch slid right under her skin, zinged around, and throbbed between her legs. She coughed.
I can get into the Jeep.
He grinned and lifted her inside.
I know, but my mama taught me to be a gentleman.
Sophie swallowed.
That wasn't gentlemanly.
His chuckle caressed her skin as if his tongue traced each inch.
I didn't say I was good at the lessons.
His hands lingered on her waist, and his midnight dark eyes caressed her heated features. Sophie tried to ignore the strength in the hands at her hips. He had lifted her into the Jeep like she weighed nothing, and his broad chest blocked out the sun. In fact, all she could see were those onyx eyes devouring her. Interest and something even darker lurked there. Flutters cascaded through her belly. The man wanted to kiss her.
Chapter 3. Jake captured her lips, the jolt of instant lust shocking him. So he forced himself to slow down and explore softly, gently, at his leisure. He wasn't a man who lost control. Ever. One hand cupped her head, holding her where he wanted her. Her eyes closed, and he took the kiss deeper, his cells exploding as heat shot through his blood. His gentle hold kept her firmly in place as he controlled them both. Desire and a shocking intimacy careened through him. Under his touch, the woman stilled, no doubt fighting to keep sane. It was too late for sanity. Way too late. With the hint of a growl, his tongue invaded her mouth. He took his time learning her texture, memorizing her taste. The hand at her nape threaded into her hair, and he pressed her against the seat. She clenched his shirt and slid her tongue against his. Fire boiled through him, and his groan of approval filled her mouth. His hand slid from her waist and relaxed against her thigh, her toned muscle tempting him to yank the material away. Then he tugged her around, and her breasts flattened against his chest, her nipples pebbling. Lava cascaded down his spine to spark his balls. He wanted her naked. Now. Obviously, the woman had no clue how close to the edge he'd slipped. She burrowed farther into his body, returning his kiss. They both panted when he finally lifted his head. Her eyes had darkened to dangerous blue depths, wide and unseeing on his.
His hand released her curls before stroking along her jaw to cup her chin. He watched the path of his thumb as it ran along her swollen bottom lip. Tempting. Too damn tempting. Her tongue slipped out and grazed his thumb. He bit back a growl and forced himself to relax. They were fully clothed in a parking area next to headquarters, and he'd never wanted a woman more. But this was neither the time nor the place. Definitely not the place. And he knew he'd have her without question. But he wanted all night, from dawn to dusk, to explore whatever this was. Awareness slid across her face, and she yanked her hands away.
I have to go.
He granted her a brief reprieve. Jake leaned in and pulled the seat belt between her breasts before clicking it firmly in place.
Go ahead and run, sunshine. I caught you once before.
The door closed, but he made sure she could still hear him.
And I will again.
Jake's warning echoed through her head for the rest of the day, until she finally gave up and tried to get some sleep. The sheets tangled around her restless legs as she struggled to find a comfortable position. What in the hell had happened earlier? She had never reacted so mindlessly to a kiss, especially a first kiss. She didn't even like the man. Except she did like him. Wanted him more than she'd thought possible. That pissed her off even more. She didn't have time for romance. Jake Lodge had better keep his damn lips to himself when they met the following day. Plus, what was up with the veiled threat that he would catch her again? The fluttering in her stomach was from her late dinner. It had to be. She rolled and punched the pillow into a better shape. Then she punched it again and groaned while throwing an arm across her eyes. Sleep finally claimed her in the early morning hours. Sophie found herself wandering through the forest where Jake had rescued her on horseback. Birds chirped, trees swayed in the breeze, and an unexpected peace filled her. The forest opened into a small clearing against a large hill set with rocks. Below her, Mineral Lake twinkled in light blue solitude, its peace undisturbed and placid. Sophie strolled to one thick rock and sat down, tipping up her face to the sun for warmth. She sighed deeply, her eyes closed, her limbs slowly relaxing. Then she opened her eyes and yelped.
Hi there, Sophie.
A grin met her yelp. He was old, ancient even, long white hair, deep black eyes, and weathered skin. Wisdom surrounded him like a fine mist, even with his pink lips tipped up in humor. He sat on a thick rock across from hers.
Okay, she was dreaming. It was all right.
Black cowboy boots, faded Levi's, and red-checked western shirt contrasted with his likely mystical heritage. A scent of honeysuckle wafted around her on the wings of wizardly mist. Was he here to guide her?
Hi, Bob.
He was about her height and softly rounded.
Bob?
Sophie huffed out a laugh. A vigorous head nod came in response.
Okay, Bob.
Sophie looked around the forested area and placid lake, Are you some kind of spirit guide or something?
Nope.
Bob grabbed a blade of grass and gnawed on it. Mystic?
Nope.
Medicine man?
Nope.
Guru, swami, leprechaun?
Nope, nope, and nope.
Sophie mused for a moment.
Oh, geez. You're not the land, are you?
Bob chuckled.
Do I look like land?
He shook his head in unison with hers. Sophie wrinkled her forehead.
Well, then, who are you?
I'm Bob,
he said in exasperation, dark eyes roaming over her, obviously speculating about her intelligence. Fine. Sophie rolled her eyes. Why are you here, Bob?
Why are any of us here?
At her low hiss, Bob lifted his hands, palms up.
It's your dream, not mine.
That's true, Sophie said slowly. But I've never had a dream like this.
Like what?
Bob coughed after accidentally swallowing some of the grass. Clear, real, bright. She gazed suspiciously at the elderly man. Are you sure you aren't here for a reason?
Oh, we're all here for a reason.
Damn it, Bob, she snapped. Heat flared in her face. She probably shouldn't swear at whatever Bob was.
Damn it, Sophie,
Bob countered with another grin. Her lips lifted at his sarcasm. Two could play at that game. Guide me.
Maybe you're here to guide me.
Bob leaned back against the rock face and sighed in contentment.
Then you're in a heap of trouble.
Sophie copied his pose, letting the sun warm her through. The wind caressed her hair, and the sun heated her just under the skin. The sharp tang of honeysuckle tickled her nose, and she opened her eyes. Bob was gone.
Figures,
Sophie muttered before closing her eyes again. The morning sun poked through a light gauze of clouds while Jake maneuvered his truck across town.
Why can't I come on the picnic and meet the golf course lady?
The litany of questions continued from the back seat. Jake drove the Dodge pickup around a pothole, then glanced in the rearview mirror and met peaked feminine eyes. Eyes so much like his own.
Because you have plans to bead necklaces with your grandmother, Pumpkin.
I don't want to bead necklaces. I want to go on the picnic.
Irritation turned to sweetness.
Please, Daddy. I want to meet the city lady.
Nice try, Layla.
His grin matched hers.
I bet she has Manolo Blahniks.
His daughter's expression turned dreamy.
Manolo what?
He turned down a narrow dirt driveway lined with lodge pole pines.
Ah, Dad, Layla huffed in pity. Blahniks! Shoes! Really pretty shoes.
You're 6 years old. Since when do you care about shoes?
Midnight black eyes widened on his before Layla gave a delicate shrug and stared intently out the window.
Layla?
He used his best no-nonsense tone, the one that promised a lack of ice cream in the future if she didn't answer. Layla sighed before turning back to meet his eyes.
Since me and Gretz and Sally watched Sex in the City.
Jake gaped at his daughter. His baby, with her long, dark hair pulled into two pigtails and her pert little nose.
Sex and the City?
Yep.
The grin showed a gap from a missing tooth. Jake's lips tightened.
Where?
At Sally's house after school last week.
Her mother let you?
Well, not exactly.
Meaning?
He stopped the truck before a two-story log home surrounded by wild purple, yellow, and red flowers. He shifted in his seat to face his daughter. She looked innocent and pretty in her blouse and light jeans with tiny tennis shoes.
Well, her mom thought we were watching a cartoon about kittens in her room, but we kind of put in the other movie instead.
A guilty flush stole across Layla's olive skin.
Well, I will call Madeline later today so she knows what you three were up to, Jake said sternly, before jumping from the truck and opening the back door.
He released the seatbelt and helped his daughter out of her car seat before shaking his head.
And you get no television for a week.
A week?
Layla wailed, just as Jake's mother opened the door and gracefully crossed the faded deck.
Wanna make it two?
No.
Layla took off at a run toward her grandma, the second Jake put her on her feet. Jake turned in exasperation as the two women in his life embraced.
Daddy's being mean, Layla whined.
Men, his mother agreed, a twinkle in her dark eyes. Jake gave her a warning glance before stalking over and kissing her weathered cheek. His mother was truly a beautiful woman. Nearly a foot shorter than him, petite and slender, she had passed on her black eyes as well as her straight patrician bone structure, whereas he had inherited his broad frame from his father. The braid through her gray hair deserved a tug, and Jake complied.
"Why are you picking on my granddaughter?"
She smacked him on the arm.
"Because your granddaughter watched Sex and the City last week."
"Oh, my." Lonnie Freeze grinned before turning to his urchin. "Why did you watch that?"
"To see the pretty clothes and shoes and the big city with the big stores and buildings."
Layla sighed. Jake's gut rolled at her words.
"The city isn't everything it's cracked up to be, Layla."
"Jake, all girls dream of big stores and pretty cities," his mother chided.
"I'm well aware of that,"
he replied grimly. And he was. He and Layla had lost too much due to the lure of the big city life. His thoughts flashed to Sophie. Even her name screamed City Girl. He couldn't believe that he'd kissed her. What the hell had he been thinking? A slow grin ripped across his face. Damn it, he wanted to do it again.
"You have that look."
His mother's eyes narrowed thoughtfully.
"What look?"
he asked, all innocence.
"That look. The one you had right before riding that untamable stallion, Satan. Incidentally, does your arm still ache before a storm?" "The look you had when your brother dared you to jump off Smitty's cliff into the lake." His mother continued with a huff. "The look you had when..."
"All right, I know the look." The grin deserted his face. "I don't have it right now." His mother opened her mouth to speak, only to have Layla interrupt.
"Where's Grandpa Tom?"
"He's mending fences in the south pasture. He'll be back in time for lunch with you," Lonnie assured her granddaughter.
"Mending fences?"
Jake frowned. Why didn't he call?
Because.
Lonnie reached up to peck him on a cheek.
Your stepfather is just like you. He doesn't ask for help.
I ask for help.
Jake nodded toward his daughter.
Humph,
Lonnie replied with a twinkle.
Shouldn't you get going on your date?
It's not a date.
She shrugged. I heard it's a date.
Your father had better not be matchmaking, Mom.
I have no control over your grandfather.
A smile lit her pretty face. Have you noticed that we never quite claim him?
I wonder why.
Jake glanced at his watch.
I have to get going for my business meeting.
He emphasized the last two words before swooping down to kiss his daughter on the head. His mother's voice stopped him just as he reached the truck.
Maybe it's time to date again.
Maybe,
he allowed with a cautious look at his suddenly curious daughter.
But not some city girl with Manolos, whatever the hell those are.
His gaze narrowed at his mother, who had an arm around his child. The homestead sat strong and solid behind them. Happy whinnies cascaded out of the deep green paddocks to the south, while the scents from steers to pasture wafted around. Dust, dirt, and nature co-mingled into a combination of home. With a shake of his head, he tossed his black Stetson across the front seat and jumped into the truck to meet the woman he'd kissed. A woman who belonged on his dusty ranch as much as a stallion belonged on Park Avenue. But first, he had a stop to make. He drove through town to the general store, dodging inside to make his purchase. Within 15 minutes, he was back in the truck, heading toward the edge of town, wondering when his daughter had stopped watching cartoons. His thoughts still whirled when he wiped his black boots on the mat adorning Schiller's B&B's large porch, removed his hat, and knocked on the door. Sophie opened it immediately, fresh and pretty in dark jeans, frilly white blouse, and a braid looking too similar to his mother's.
These are for you.
Jake handed her a large white box. Roses came in big white boxes, and he wondered belatedly if she'd be disappointed. They weren't flowers. Sophie stuttered in surprise as she accepted the box. She flipped open the lid and sighed out loud.
You brought me boots?
Her face wrinkled in confusion.
Yeah, they're not Manolos.
Jake shuffled his boots.
Plain old cowboy boots, and you'll need them for your ride today.
They're beautiful.
Sophie breathed out. Soft calfskin leather colored a creamy beige with a pointed toe. She hurried over to the wide porch swing, covering one side of the wraparound porch, and slipped off her tennis shoes.
Donnie picked them out. She had to guess at the size.
Thank goodness his sister had time between classes to help him out.
They're perfect,
Sophie said after yanking both boots up under her jeans. She stood, the boots giving her a couple inches in height.
But I can't accept them.
Regret colored her words to reflect in her blue eyes. Jake grinned. He couldn't help it. What was it with women and shoes? Sophie looked like she was about to cry at giving up the boots.
Montana law, ma'am.
Huh?
Montana law. A representative of the Bar Association, me, gives an associate boots, you. Then state law dictates you have to keep them.
Really?
Sophie laughed and shook her head.
Really?
Jake affirmed solemnly. No, Jake.
Please, Sophie. You're probably used to more lavish gifts, but I really want you to have them.
She looked in wonder at her pretty new boots. I'm not used to gifts at all. Thank you. These are perfect. She balanced up on her toes and backed down like a graceful ballerina.
You're welcome, he said thoughtfully.
How odd.
Why wasn't she used to gifts? I don't suppose you know how to ride a horse.
Sophie's gaze flew to his face. Her partial lesson the other day on his horse didn't count.
Not exactly.
Chapter 4 Too soon, Sophie was giving it a try.
All right, Myrtle, that's right. Slow and easy, she crooned to the painted mare, her entire body tense and expecting to hit the ground.
Eyes forward, Myrtle plodded ahead with a bored whinny. At least it sounded like boredom.
Thick pine trees unfolded lush branches on either side of the dirt trail as a woodpecker beat a sharp staccato tune somewhere high up. Orange honeysuckle and thick huckleberry bushes fought for dominance throughout the trees, their sweet scents mixing with sharp pine. A cool breeze wafted through the sharp sunlight, angling through the branches, and brought peace to the area. They were truly alone. Sophie fought to relax her muscles, butt, and thighs as she balanced. She couldn't help but remember Jake's hard thighs bracketing hers on the big black horse he rode again today. She studied his broad back as he maneuvered 2 tons of near-wild animal along the old trail easily, naturally. Today he was all cowboy in faded jeans, black Stetson, and boots, his hair tied back at the nape. He was even bigger than she'd remembered. A dark gray shirt emphasized the breadth of a muscular chest that her body remembered well. She grinned, and then her gaze softened as one of her new boots caught her eye. He'd bought her boots. Then she shook her head. He was a cowboy. A lawyer, no less.
If that wasn't bad enough, his main job was to prevent her from doing hers. She needed to remember they were opponents in a battle about to begin. A battle that could determine the rest of her career and save her uncle's company, boots or not.
As the trail angled upward, Sophie had to admit Jake was right about her horse. Slow and steady. Pretty safe. Myrtle had looked almost grateful when Jake led her from the deep rust-colored paddock on his ranch. Sophie had admired the color, and Jake told her it was the trim color of his parents' paddocks, since he'd wanted consistency throughout all the ranches. His warm tone illustrated a closeness with his parents. She had looked around for his home, but several mature blue spruce trees down the private driveway hid it. Suddenly, the lake sparkled as the trail broke into a clearing of trampled wheat and sagebrush, holding large rocks baking in the sun. Thick trees surrounded the vista on 3 sides, while a steep incline led down to the water far below. The landscape was oddly similar to her dream the previous night, but not enough to cause alarm. Jake jumped lively off his stallion near the edge of the trees, turned, and reached to lift Sophie from Myrtle. His hands remained warm and strong around her waist as she regained her balance and stretched already protesting muscles. He waited until she met his gaze.
That wasn't so bad, was it? Amusement wove through his tone.
Her heart accelerated as his midnight eyes ran over her face in an almost physical caress. Sophie shook her head. She'd agreed to the trip so she could see her client's land from a different perspective, not to flirt with the sexy lawyer. So she stepped back, and he released her. Sophie turned toward the lake, letting its placidness calm her nerves while Jake tied reins to trees before grabbing two backpacks slung over his horse. He deftly shook out a tightly woven blanket with white, red, and brown stitched patterns and spread it on the ground before adding plates, containers of food, and a bottle of wine.
"You really come prepared."
Sophie sat gingerly on the beautiful blanket. A dimple flirted in his left cheek as Jake opened the containers.
"My daughter helped pack the essentials."
"You have a daughter?"
"Yeah."
Pride shone in his deep eyes.
"Layla. She just turned 6.
"Pretty name," Sophie murmured. Caution stiffened her spine.
You're not married, are you?"
The heated kiss from the previous afternoon flashed through her mind.
"No. My wife died when Layla was only 2.
Pain stamped down hard on the sharp angles of his face. "I'm sorry." It wasn't enough.
"Me too."
He handed her a plate before opening the wine. An orange-breasted robin hopped closer to the blanket, its beady eyes on the feast. "How did she die, Jake?" He handed her a glass of Chardonnay.
"She died running away from me."
He effectively ended the conversation by passing her a container filled with fried chicken. They ate in silence. Sophie wondered about his deceased wife, but didn't want to spoil the afternoon with sadness. She'd ask later. "It's so peaceful here," Sophie mused as 2 more robins joined the first.
"Yes, without a golf course," Jake said dryly.
"Golf courses are peaceful places." Sophie tossed her empty plate into a garbage sack.
"At least if they're designed correctly." "Not the same, Soph."
Jake gestured at the deep green lake below them.
"The risk isn't worth it."
Irritation jangled her nerves.
"The golf course won't pollute your lake."
"The science doesn't confirm that. Again, it's not worth the risk. Besides, you don't own any of the land, do you?"
She exhaled slowly, holding on to her temper. "No. A private company owns the land. They just hired us to design the golf course." The sun beat down, and Sophie inhaled the crisp air.
"Well, then, maybe we're on the same side here."
Sophie rolled her eyes. "Is this when the land starts speaking to me?" Jake reached out one broad arm and yanked Sophie down beside him to face the clouds.
"The land has been whispering since you arrived. You just need to listen."
Sophie quieted with her head on Jake's muscled shoulder, her face turned to the sky, her back comfortable against the blanket. She really should get up or move away. But he was so warm, so solid. She ignored her inner voice and shut her eyes to listen. A breeze scattered pine needles to the hard earth. Honeysuckle layered the wind with sweetness. Birds twittered to each other in song. And Jake breathed deep and sure next to her. She opened her eyes. Clouds drifted lazily across a beach-warm sky as a sense of peace slid through her bones into her deepest marrow. I don't hear the land.
Why aren't you used to presence, Sophia?
Ugh, please don't call me that. The wind brought a chill, and Sophie snuggled closer into Jake's side, just a bit.
What's wrong with Sophia?
Laziness coated his deep voice as he stared upward. Embarrassment heated her cheeks. It's pretentious. I mean, seriously, Sophia Smith?
What was she thinking? Your mother?
Yeah. Unease settled in her stomach.
Is she French?
No, she wasn't French. She just wanted to be somebody. And she'd reached her goal.
Wasn't French?
Remembered pain slithered down Sophie's chest. Wasn't. She and my stepfather died in a car accident when I was 18.
I'm sorry. But she was somebody.
How do you figure? Sophie pushed old hurts out of her mind.
She was your mother.
That wasn't enough, believe me. Sophie's shoulders tensed.
I still don't understand.
He tucked her closer. Sophie let out a deep breath. I'm not sure she knew who my father was. If she did, she never said. We were poor, trailer park poor. She always wanted more.
Did she get it?
Yeah. She married my stepfather, Roger Riverton, when I was 14. Then she got to travel everywhere.
What about you?
Sometimes loneliness snuck up and chilled her skin, like now. Boarding school. It was all right, I guess.
Did you like him? Your stepfather?
Not so much. He was quite a bit older and had already raised his family. In business, well, he was ruthless. Jake ran a hand down her arm as if to offer warmth and reassurance.
How did you know he was ruthless?
Memories flashed, bringing a dull pain to her temples. A girl at school. I guess Roger raided her dad's company and then tore it apart.
It's what he did.
She watched the clouds drift. Once a man came to visit when I was home for school break. He was almost crying, practically begging Roger not to destroy his family's construction business. I shouldn't have listened at the door, but Jake tightened his hold.
What happened?
Roger didn't care. He was so cold, so mean, like a shark. Told the man to forget it, that he deserved to lose his company, that he was weak. She shivered. But that's how Roger made so much money.
But some of the money went to something good, right? I mean, to your schooling?
Sophie tightened her jaw. No. When they died, everything went to his kids. But I had a scholarship to school and took out some loans, so it all worked out. She had never wanted Roger's money. Jake was quiet for a moment.
How did you choose golf course design?
Sophie laughed, her heart lightening. I loved art, drawing and creating. When I met Uncle Nathan, Roger's brother, he helped me to channel that into design. He's my boss now.
Ah, you love him.
Yes. When I was younger, I used to wish he were my dad, that Mom had married him instead. Sophie rolled onto her stomach to face Jake. His muscles were relaxed, and he had one hand behind his head. What about you? Are your parents still living?
My mother is, My father died in a snowmobile accident when I was 8 and Quinn was 6.
Jake's eyes darkened with pain. Sophie reached out to pat Jake's chest. I wondered about Colton and Dawn. They look so different from you and Quinn.
Jake's eyes crinkled.
Yeah. Mom married Tom a couple of years later, and then they had Colt and Donnie.
Were you upset she remarried?
Not really. I mean, he isn't Kooski, so I wasn't so sure for a while. But Tom's great, and he makes Mom happy. Though Dawn...
Jake grinned.
She has been a handful for all of us.
Three older brothers? Poor Dawn. Sophie grinned back. Is it important to you? I mean, was Layla's mother a member of the tribe?
Yes. She was full Kooski.
For some unknown reason, his admission deflated her. Then he frowned.
I thought being a tribe member was important, that we'd want the same things.
But you didn't?
No.
The color of Jake's eyes deepened, and his hand slid to the back of Sophie's head. No, she said, as she placed both hands against his chest and pushed to a seated position. No way. Not that.
Why not?
Jake sat up, his eyes intent on her mouth. Despite her resolve, heat flared in her abdomen. Because this is business. We're on opposite sides.
We don't have to be.
Yeah, we do. Her brain told her body to get a grip. Unless you're going to support my design?
No.
Regret colored his words. They were on opposite sides, no matter how sexy he was or how much she wanted to kiss him again. We should get back. Sophie shivered as the wind caught a chill. His gaze ran over her face. Then, with a nod, Jake rolled to his feet and held a broad hand to help her up.
Yeah, we should. The spring storm season should be arriving any day, and while impressive, you don't want to be caught outside.
Spring storm season? She moved to help him repack.
Yes, probably not until next week, though the breeze coming off the lake has more of a chill than it should.
He turned and lifted her onto the mare, helping her insert her new boots in the worn stirrups. Sophie felt slightly more at home on the pretty horse, but while her body relaxed, her thoughts spun. What had he meant that his wife had run away from him? How had she died? What would it be like to kiss Jake again? Maybe the first time was just a fluke, and it didn't matter that she wasn't Kooski. One silly kiss didn't mean anything. What she needed to concentrate on was how Sophie could convince Jake to change his mind and help her get the tribe to support her proposal. They arrived back at the paddock before she knew it. Jake's indulgent sigh as they drew closer should have provided warning to who obviously awaited them.
Hello, Sophie.
Chief Lodge strolled out the big double door.
Afternoon, Chief Lodge.
Sophie gratefully took his offered hand and swung down from the horse. Her leg muscles protested in spasm, and she stumbled.
Did you talk to the land?
The chief steadied her until she could stand on her own. I sure tried. She put both hands on her hips and stretched her back, ignoring the loud pop from her spine.
And?
I think the land wants a golf course there. She grinned at the elder. The chief threw back his head and guffawed.
Oh, Sophie, you're a pip.
He wiped his eyes with one gnarled hand.
That settles it, then.
Settles what? She shrugged tense shoulder muscles. Her entire body revolted from her earlier ride.
You have to come to the branding picnic tomorrow, out it rains. Grandpa!
Jake swung from his horse to stand at her side. She threw a disgruntled look his way. His muscles seemed fine.
There now, Jake agrees. We have to be there early, but I can give you directions.
The chief patted her on the back.
Besides, the entire tribal council will be there, so you can talk to all of them about your proposal.
Well, she chewed her bottom lip while flicking another glance toward Jake. It would be nice to talk to the entire council, so maybe she should go. Though the frown on his tanned face didn't warm her heart any.
Good. Saturdays are meant for fun.
The chief offered her an arm.
Now, why don't we let Jake take care of the horses, and I'll give you a ride back to Schiller's B&B.
Okay. She'd grab any opportunity to sell him on her plan. Taking his proffered arm, she gave Jake a small smile over her shoulder. Thanks for the picnic.
No problem, Sophie. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why did that sound like a threat? Chapter 5. After a quick ride to the general store, Sophie spent the rest of the day fine-tuning her proposal. She ignored the new note on her Jeep. This time the note had been more explicit. Your development will destroy the land. Please rethink your plan. She placed it with the first one, wondering if she should file a police report. But the last thing she wanted was to appear like a hysterical female, and the notes weren't exactly threats. They were more like please. Nice, polite, please. She could handle this. The tribe was certainly against the development, but she couldn't imagine Jake leaving a cowardly note for her. He was more likely to beat down her door to challenge the proposal. She ate a quiet dinner with Mrs. Schiller, the sole proprietor of the B&B. After helping clear the dishes, she escaped to her room and the purchases she'd been thrilled to find in the general store. She pulled out the sketch pad and new charcoals from the brown bag. They were beautiful, untouched, ready to be used. The charcoal felt warm and solid in her hand as it vibrated with possibilities. The blank sheet before her called for something. With a sigh, she reached out to create. Her first drawing captured the clearing with its amazing view of Mineral Lake, tall pine trees and bouncing robins. Flecks in the rocks sparkled light back to the hazy sun as clouds dropped toward the ground. The movement of charcoal against paper calmed her. Even the smell of charcoal dust inspired her to continue. Her second drawing took hours as she lost herself in every line and shadow. About midnight, she stretched her aching neck and scrutinized her work while spraying a light coat of fixative. Her nerves hummed as Jake stared unapologetically back at her from the paper, his eyes warm and serious, his cheekbones sharp angles over dark hollows, and his mouth full and slightly tipped. Black hair cascaded back from a broad forehead. Strength and power flowed through every line across his face. He was perfect. And he wasn't hers to draw. Her cell phone shattered the piece, and she jumped, then dropped the sketch pad and checked the number. Preston. She thought about it. With a sigh, she turned the phone on mute and went to bed. The hours spent drawing had calmed her to the point that she fell asleep easily. She dreamed a dark, dreamless sleep until the early morning hours. Then, it was no surprise to find herself on the rock near the cliff with robins hopping nearby. "Bob?" She swung her pretty new boots back and forth, feeling warm in faded jeans and a red sweatshirt.
"Nice boots, Sophie."
In a blink, Bob appeared on his rock.
"Thanks. I like yours, too."
Bob wore deep green lizard cowboy boots under dark jeans and a bright purple cowboy shirt. She probably shouldn't be so blasé, considering she was meeting with some spirit guide in her dreams. Perhaps she was going crazy. But she didn't feel crazy. She felt content.
"Your shirt looks like something Roy Rogers would have worn."
"Where do you think I got it?"
Black eyes twinkled at her from his perch on the next rock. "Did you really know Roy Rogers?" Bob puffed out a laugh.
"It's your dream. You tell me." "You're not part of my imagination. That's a fact." "Maybe."
Bob shrugged.
"Maybe not."
"Well, let's pretend the answer is maybe not. Why are you here?"
"Maybe you're crazy, Sophie."
"You know, as a spirit guide, you suck." Bob laughed out loud.
"Your spirit is just fine.
It's your heart that's aching." "What?" She turned incredulous eyes to an empty rock. "That just sucks," she yelled into the peaceful meadow. "Get back here!" But only the birds remained. Sophie sat up in bed with a startled gasp. The pressure of saving the company must be driving her over the edge. "Damn it! Maybe I am crazy." She pushed snarled curls off her forehead and swung her feet over the bed. The cold wood floor forced a chill up her legs, and she darted to her suitcase for socks and a comfortable cardigan. Her eye caught the soft light filtering through the silk curtains and the clock. She gasped as she noted the time. She'd better hurry. What did one wear to a branding party? With a shrug, she donned dark jeans and a light purple blouse and grabbed a sweater in case the weather turned. A quick swipe of mascara and a clip to contain her curls finished her look. After pulling on her new boots, she secured the chief's directions in one hand and darted out the door. Once in the jeep, she sat for a moment. With an irritated sigh, she jumped out of the car and back inside to grab her sketchbook. She was going to be late. The directions were simple. Sophie drove through town and turned left at Rain's Crossing. Soon enough, freshly painted white fences lined both sides of the road, where horses ranging from light tan to colorful paints frolicked to the right, while steers and cows dotted the field to the left. She'd have to return when she had more time to sketch the placid scene of contrasting colors. She pulled in behind a green Ford pickup beside a trio of large brown cows chewing grass in their large mouths. Sophie gave the three an uneasy smile before following the line of trucks up a slight hill. She stopped at the rise and surveyed the ranch below. To the left of a large two-story log-planked house, colorful picnic benches perched among the trees near a large bunkhouse. Several barns, paddocks, and fenced areas stood to the right, as did most of the crowd. Her boots clomped a rhythmic tune down the hill, toward the sounds of hooting and hollering. several people stood on or by a three-slatted white fence, shouting encouragement. She spotted Dawn standing on the bottom rail of the sturdy fence and made a beeline for her new friend. She had just placed one foot on the bottom rung when a cheer rose from the spectators.
"This way, colt,"
a man called from inside the square corral. She knew that voice. Awareness fluttered in her stomach at hearing Jake's deep baritone. She shifted up to see over the top rung. Good God! The man was in chaps. Actual chaps. Jake's worn cowboy hat perched atop a grimy forehead as sweat ran in rivulets down his dirty face. Mud and dust caked his black shirt, and light jeans poked through the deep brown chaps protecting his legs. He dug scuffed cowboy boots into the earth while twisting two large horns in his leather-gloved hands, rolling a massive steer to the ground. Jake's face set into hard lines of determination as he battled the beast. The steer bellowed when Jake shifted to press one firm knee into its neck. His hands pressing the horns to the ground, effectively immobilizing the animal's body. Colton rushed in with a needle and inoculated the animal just before another man pressed a hot iron to its flank. The stench of burning fur filled the air in tune with the steer's protest. Jake released him and jumped back. The steer leaped to its feet and ran out a narrow side exit into another pasture. The beast had to weigh at least a ton, maybe two. Fortunately, the pen safely kept the spectators from danger. Jake grinned at Colton across the dusty pen, his dimple winking through the grime.
"It's your turn to roll him to the ground."
He yanked off his hat and wiped his forehead with one muscled arm.
"But you're so good at it,"
his brother returned, his face caked with mud. Sophie stood in shock as warmth pooled deep in her belly. She was so completely out of her element, yet what a display! She had never seen such masculinity before. Man against beast. And man won. He was filthy, covered in dirt and who knew what else. The urge to kiss Jake again tempted her. Her mother would be shocked. His dark gaze found her, and she forgot all about her mother. She may have forgotten how to breathe. Then he smiled, and she forgot how to think.
"Well, hello, sunshine."
He pounded his cowboy hat on his chaps, and dust flew as he stalked toward her.
"You look pretty today."
Then his dimple winked again.
"I like your boots."
He stopped just on the other side, eye to eye with her as she stood riveted on the fence rung. "Me too." Warmth flushed her face. "They're my favorites."
"You wear them well."
Something unidentifiable flashed through his eyes. For some reason, his look streaked heat through the rest of her.
"Are you going to eat lunch with me?"
The dimple returned. "I didn't bring lunch." Her eyes fixed on his mouth.
"I brought enough for both of us."
The sound of another steer prodding toward the pen echoed behind him.
"I have about 10 more to do before lunch."
He turned back just as the beast rushed into view.
"Donnie, tell Sophie the rules for watching."
He called over his shoulder, his attention on the animal. Dawn tipped back her cream-colored cowboy hat and gave Sophie a big smile.
"Rules?"
Sophie muttered. "Oh, yeah, there are always rules. Trust me," Dawn said with a practiced eye roll.
Basically, if a steer comes your way, take 3 steps back.
Why?
Well, we haven't had one bust through the fence in a while, but it has happened.
3 steps? Man, she'd run for the car. Okay.
So, how was your date? Now Sophie rolled her eyes. It wasn't a date. It was business.
Right.
Dawn straightened. Colton, watch your left, she yelled just as the steer turned its head. Sophie gasped as Colton shifted to the left, narrowly missing being gouged.
Good thing you're here to watch your brothers, she said quietly.
Dawn nodded toward the third man in the pen. I'm here to watch Hawk.
Hawk?
The name fit. Thick black hair was cut short above a face too sharp to be rugged. Deep green eyes watched the steer as he waited with the branding iron, his chiseled face fierce in concentration. He stood well over 6 feet and filled out his black shirt hard.
Can't say I blame you, though he looks older than you.
Yeah, this is actually his spread. He's been Colton's best friend since they were in diapers, and they're only 3.5 years older than me, though it might as well be 1 million.
Oh, sorry.
In love with her brother's best friend? That did suck. Dawn shrugged. I'm of age. Next time he's on leave, I will have graduated from college. Finally.
On leave?
Hawk's in the Navy, a SEAL. He's on leave for 1 week and then he goes back. But, she said, sadness creeping into the young woman's words. It seems like every time he comes back, he's even further away. She was quiet for a moment before perking up. Though Jake was like that, too, and then he got over it.
Jake was a SEAL?
Dawn shook her head. No, Army Ranger. I don't know what he did, but I think it took a toll. A wry grin lit her face, though he's all better now. A thoughtfulness entered her pretty features. Not so sure about Quinn.
Quinn?
Yeah. He was Special Forces, and he doesn't like to talk about it much. He came back and is the sheriff now.
Your brother's the sheriff?
Yep. Believe me, if it wasn't bad enough trying to find a date with 3 older brothers, having one of them become the law in town really makes it tough.
Sophie shook her head. I can imagine.
What would it be like to have family actually care about you? Actually be involved in your life? The Lodge Freeze family intrigued her. What about Colton? Is he in the service?
Nope. He's on spring break. He'll graduate next month in finance. He runs all our family businesses now, but we won't give him the title or salary until he finishes school.
She grinned. It's a family joke. Probably had to be family to understand it.
The family business is the ranch?
Dawn shrugged. The ranches are included in the family holdings. We've diversified over the years.
Sounded impressive.
Sophie eyed the cowboys. There was a lot more to the lodge men than she'd thought.
What about you, Dawn? Are you studying finance as well?
No, I'm a photography major.
The woman teetered on her boots.
Well, and a business minor.
A hush came over the crowd, and several more people moved toward the fence.
Buttercup's next, Dawn whispered.
Buttercup? Sophie asked, her eyes riveted on Jake.
Buttercup, Dawn confirmed, a grin in her voice.
Jake named him a few years back after he connected with a horn.
Was he hurt?
Dawn shrugged.
He needed stitches, but it didn't slow him down any. Her gaze stayed on the opened gate to Hawk's left as cowboys prodded the steer inside the pen. The gate slammed shut, and the beast sauntered into the pen. Sophie lost her breath. Chapter 6. Two sharp, massive horns perched ominously on the largest animal head Sophie had ever seen. Gray fur covered a gigantic body that had to be at least double the size of the last animal, and its black eyes shone with a devil's light. It pawed the ground and huffed, its enormous head swiveling to challenge Jake. Jake leaned casually against the side fence.
"Hi, Buttercup,"
he said to the amusement of the watching crowd. Buttercup flicked its tail and muscles bunched as it snorted again.
"Ready for the timer, Jake?"
an older man, his face hidden by the brim of a brown cowboy hat, shouted from the far side of the pen. Jake looked to Colton and Hawk, who both nodded.
"Start the timer."
Fast as a whip and just as unforgiving,